Welcome to the Boss Lady Podcast. Whether you are an entrepreneur climbing the corporate ladder or a work-from-home parent, you are a boss. I am Teresa Rand, an entrepreneur, mother, grandmother, wife, and former CEO.
And I'm Jennifer Roberts, a wife, mom, and a woman who walked away from a corporate PR career to embrace entrepreneurship. Join us as we break down strategies, tools, and techniques that will enhance your career and life.
If you desire to make your life extraordinary, to reach and exceed your personal and professional goals, and to learn from other strong leaders, then the Boss Lady Podcast is for you.
Together, we will embrace, empower, and educate each other.
This is the Boss Lady Podcast.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
Oh, fabulous.
Good.
How are you?
I am doing well. It's good to see you. You've been on vacation. I've been on vacation. We got a lot of work going on and planning a big conference in September, right?
Ooh, yes. Excited about that.
So
excited about that. You can't plan it fast enough, I feel like, but that's always the case.
and we're going to talk today about being an entrepreneur, and you know, we're an entrepreneur times two, three, whatever, because we have our individual businesses. I have Teresa Rand Consulting, and you have Back Porch Communications, and then Boss Lady is a whole separate entity. So our entrepreneur hat gets overflowing with gratitude sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
It's the truth. It's a lot going on. And trying to juggle it all is really what I think of when I think of entrepreneur, right? How do you do all the things?
Exactly.
But yeah. So we're going to talk about that today. I won't jump ahead, but
yeah, and you know what? But we did. That is our topic today, having an entrepreneurial mindset. And we're in different stages of life. And I think you see a lot of entrepreneurs, they're young, they're middle-aged, they're old, whatever the case may be, they're more mature.
And
yet we still deal with a lot of the same, I hate to use the word obstacles, but kind of the same dynamics, if you will. You have two children at home, teenagers. You're in the midst of graduation with one of them from high school.
Yep.
So you've got all that going on that I don't have going on. My kids are grown, but I have 7.5 grandchildren.
Yeah.
One to be born in the summer in a couple of months. And I try to spend time with them. But it's different stages. And I've often said, you know, there's no level of competition. There's no level of who has the most work to do, right? Who's got the biggest trauma? Who's got that? Because it's whatever we're dealing with. You know, I can be stressed about something that may seem simple to you. You can be stressed about something that may seem simple to me. But
right.
At the end of the day, we have a lot more in common in this entrepreneurial path that we're taking, right?
You know, when I think about being an entrepreneur, it's something that I feel like I know more about it now than I did early on in my career, but I feel like it's somebody that's a little scrappy, right? Like we're going to take an idea and pull it together and start with nothing and build it into something. And what does that actually turn out to be at the end of the day? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is not, you know, an interesting concept that I never really considered was thinking about being an entrepreneur. Like now that I am one, I guess I think about it in a different way. I see the skill set of entrepreneurs is different than sometimes what you find in corporate America. But I know you've been teaching on this topic locally at our local college, and why corporate folks are looking for people that think like entrepreneurs, you know, in their workforce. And that is kind of a relatively new concept, which I think is really interesting. The skill set, the get it done mentality of what entrepreneurs bring to the table is now becoming a valued trait also in corporate America.
Also, which absolutely. Is, yeah. Absolutely. The course that I've been working with and teaching and helping with our local college is 4 years ago, we got a grant, and it was through the the Entrepreneurial Learning Initiative. And it's a curriculum that we use that we've infused into a lot of the courses and classwork at the college level on exactly what you said, how to think like an entrepreneur. Because not every student or every human wants to be an entrepreneur. Some are like, nope, give me my steady paycheck. And I was one of those for almost 30 mm-hmm. years. I liked getting yep. my paycheck every 2 weeks. I liked knowing I had my benefits, set amount of vacation. It's called stability.
Yeah.
And then 6 years ago, I became an entrepreneur. And yours has been how long? 7 years? 8 years?
Oh, I've been an entrepreneur for coming up on 5. So,
okay. Yeah, I was thinking you were a couple years five. Before me.
But, no, okay, behind.
So roughly behind. Around the same time. But, but I always tell people when I'm having this conversation that when I worked, if you're a brand new listener, Jennifer and I just kind of jump in like you already know us. So I'll back up a little bit. But, I retired from the YMCA in order to start my own business. And as the CEO of our local Y, we have 7 locations plus a resident camp. I needed every single executive director to act like they owned their facility. I couldn't get to 8 facilities every day. I couldn't manage 8 advisory boards. I had 1 corporate board to manage, and that was enough, right? So the ones, when I think back on the execs that were very successful, they were the ones that felt like they owned their building. They didn't mm-hmm. mind taking out the trash, scrubbing the floors, doing whatever they had to do, and they were the ones that were successful. So to your point, thinking like an owner is just sets you up for success, whether you are or not, right? And you were in a whole different world, a whole healthcare world, where we certainly want all those people to think like entrepreneurs, don't we? Or owners.
Yeah, I think you do. And but it wasn't, when I worked in corporate healthcare, it wasn't really a thought, right? Mm-hmm. I very much lived in the mentality personally of the steady job, and this is what I have to do to move up the ladder. And, you know, I show up on time and I do the things that I'm expected to do, not because I didn't feel like I was an owner, but I didn't feel like I was the person in charge. Like I didn't feel I had the power to be the owner to make the decisions. And that was part of what I didn't have that role, right? Yeah. I wasn't given that role by the organization. But also, I think when we talk about thinking like an entrepreneur in corporate America, what do you have control over? What do you, how can you be innovative? How can you push the boundaries or the limits of what the current structure is? And I wish I could say that that was me to a T in corporate America in my days there, but it wasn't. It wasn't, you know, we were all encouraged to think about new ideas and push the limits, but I didn't ever really consider myself an entrepreneurial thinker. I think that's a fairly new concept, but one that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, agree. I say the exact same thing. The word entrepreneur wasn't even around when the majority of my career. You either worked for somebody or you owned a business. That was the that was the 2 definitions, right?
Yeah.
But I remember one time specifically in a Y where I was the exec at the time. And I can't remember exactly what happened, but I did something wrong. I don't know. But I was up on the floor. This was a 3-story Y. So I was on the floor where all the wellness equipment was. And our CEO came in. And he came over and he said something to me. And he didn't yell. He didn't. I can't remember the specifics. But I burst into tears. Now, that's a whole nother podcast. You know, I was a female employee. He was a male CEO. I started crying. I was mad at myself. And he was like, oh, my God, what just happened? And I said, I'm going to my office to get myself together. So I go downstairs to my office and I'll never forget it. He's right on my heels. I get in the office. I shut the door. I sit down in a chair. He sits down across from me. We're almost knee to knee. And he leans forward and he says, you have got to stop taking this job personally.
Mm.
And I remember sitting back and going, but I'm passionate about the Why movement, and I don't know how to do it any other way. And I learned. I learned, because you can only take it so personally that it becomes detrimental to you, right?
Right.
You want to own it and you want to be proud of the work you do, but there have to be some boundaries.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And when you think about it, though, it's hard. It is hard to not, because you spend, you know, especially if you're working in a corporate environment or working for someone else, you spend 8 hours a day at least.
At least.
With your focus and your thoughts and your, maybe not always today, but you're being in an office or in an environment where you're working, and that much time of your life spent somewhere, it's hard not to take things personally.
Yeah.
But I think at the same time, you know, as my skin has gotten a whole lot thicker as an entrepreneur, right? It's gotten a whole lot thicker than it was when I was working in a corporate environment. Because I think that I've had to control what's going on in my own head. I haven't had a whole lot of people around me to say, other than the boss lady community, but to kind of say to me, just because someone said no to you is not the end of the world, you know, or someone didn't want to work with you, or whatever the case that might have impacted my hurt feeling at the moment. But I think it is important for us to think about, like, what is that thick skinness that entrepreneurs have to develop in order to succeed and continue to put themselves out there.
Right. Absolutely. And it does start. It starts with your thoughts. It starts with your mindset, as so much does. And in this curriculum, it's based on a book called Who Owns the Ice House by Dr. Clifton Talbert. And he tells a story of growing up as a young man in Mississippi, and his uncle owned the ice house, which most people don't remember those. I vaguely remember them, just barely. But when you didn't have ice in your refrigerator, you got it delivered, or you went and got it. And he learned so many concepts from his uncle, who was not educated, but he knew how to run a business. And he was very successful in his business. And he develops, and he goes through in the book, it's also an audio book, which Dr. Talbert, who I've had the opportunity to meet, he reads it himself, and it's amazing to listen to him. But he has eight words. There's eight chapters in the book, and the words are community. You just talked about the boss lady community, wealth, brand, knowledge, persistence, choice, opportunity, and action. All of those words have different meanings to different people, but I think they have different meanings every time I think about them. You know, you just mentioned community. So we obviously, the Boss Lady community, which is a membership-based community of like-minded women, is a huge part of our community. But you have other communities too, right, that are important specifically to your business. Aren't you in like a PR firm or a PR association?
Yeah. Professional group. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm in a speakers association. So it's not just one community. When you think about those words, Jen, and I'm going to put them in the show notes because we're going to give you some action items and a little bit of homework. But community, wealth, brand, knowledge, persistence, choice, opportunity, and action. Which one speaks to you today?
So I think action is one that I constantly have to pushed myself to put one foot in front of the other. It's so easy to let important items fall off your to-do list, especially if there's no one around to hold you accountable to them, because you are your own boss. And if you don't get it done, who's going to wag their finger at you? A whole lot of nobody. Yeah. So you have to really be self-disciplined, self-motivated to make sure that you are taking action towards the goals that you want to do. So it's easy for me to prioritize serving clients because I know that there's someone on the other end that if I don't get a task done, there's a negative consequence, right? For that not happening. But where I find myself always struggling is the business development part. How much time am I spending in areas where I need to grow or I need to make more connections or I need to build new communities or all of those things that are going to help me advance my business? If I don't take the action, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And no one else is going to be there to make me do it, which is why we have accountability groups in the Boss Lady community to help women hold their hands and have that kind of accountability to be able to take the action they need to achieve their goals.
And, you know, that reminds me when we interviewed women to be a part of our Elevate, which is a group 6-month coaching process that we do. Every single woman that we interviewed talked about one of the things they needed out of a program like our coaching program was accountability. And the majority of the women in our group are entrepreneurs, and accountability was the top thing on their list. So I think, again, these are all highly action-oriented people. But when you're an entrepreneur, there's no checklist that, you know, my boss wants these done. So this is obviously going to get first. We get done first. We have to make up our own checklist. And if we decide we want to go walk around the block instead of doing something, nobody's, like you said, shaking their finger at us. But so we've talked about community and action. Let's spend just a second talking about wealth. And when I hear wealth, I think about setting a goal of what I want to make, whether it's in corporate America or in my business. But I also think about when I know I have this magic number I want to get to, wealth and the concept and how I think about that drills down into how I value my service. Because you know, I'm quick to discount something or quick to say, let's just give it away or quick to, and I have to remind myself that that's not how I need to operate in my business. What does the word wealth bring up for you?
You know, wealth is something that in my career, especially in corporate America, and if you have words of wisdom on this fact, because I don't actually have words of wisdom on this, but maybe you do. I felt very stuck in what can I make? It was always somebody else's decision on what the pay raise was going to be for that year. Or what the, you know, if you applied for something, what the top and bottom end and where you fell in that rate. If you got the promotion, that could get you a raise. There were very few things that I felt were within my control other than leaving the organization, that I could control my own wealth. And as an entrepreneur, that has been a big shift for me. And it's, I would say one of the things that I think I value most, it was one of the scariest things when I started an entrepreneurial journey, because that steady paycheck was gone bye-bye. Yeah. And it was up to me to make that determination. How many hours was I going to spend? What hours doing what activities? So wealth became, what am I willing to put into this? Mm-hmm. What will people pay for what I offer? So it became this whole different internal mindset conversation of how do I set this for myself, especially early on in the journey. And as you get through and start working with clients or selling products or whatever the thing it is that you are doing in your entrepreneurial journey, it, you know, you kind of I, in my experience, hit a threshold of like, okay, well, I know I can do this. Right. How do I get to more?
Yeah.
And the thing that I love about being an entrepreneur is that I feel like I get to take back some of that control.
Some of the control. Yeah.
It's now up like to me. The steady paycheck doesn't have the value that it once has because I get to be in control.
Yeah. Right.
And so maybe there's words of wisdom you have somewhere, but in how our corporate friends can manage that better than I probably did.
And here's, I don't know how wise they are. I can only give you my experiences and lessons I've learned. I knew at a certain point in my career where I wanted to get. And I did a lot of research on that. Obviously, every job has a pay scale. You know, so I knew, okay, I'm in this job. I'd like to make this amount of money. I got to jump three levels to make that amount of money and then realize it wasn't going to happen overnight. But I had to set my sight on, and I think I set my sight more on what job title I wanted than the pay that went with it. Yeah. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I knew that if I got to the job title I wanted, there was a lot of extra pay coming with that. Mm-hmm. But like you, I wasn't always, I didn't feel in control of that. It was still somebody else's decision. But you know what? Even in as an entrepreneur, it's still somebody else's decision whether they take what we offer or not. It's just a different way of thinking about it. Mm-hmm. But when I think about wealth, it leads me into, and we don't have time, unfortunately, to go through every word, but I want to hit on knowledge. Because when I think about wealth, when I knew as a program director and then a manager and then an exec, my goal, ultimate goal is to become the CEO, there were a couple of things. I knew that I had to move. And you know, that is a whole nother conversation. Some people can, some people can't, depending on their circumstances. But I wasn't going to make the amount of money I wanted in the first small town I was in. So I knew I had to move. And then came, okay, then what knowledge do I need to get to that next level? And I think that's the same when you're an entrepreneur, even when you're in corporate America, because when corporate America, there's a pretty straight line. If you want to go from here to here, then these are the credentials you have to have. As an entrepreneur, it's, and you and I just talked about this recently, it's about, okay, what other course do I need to take if I want to offer that to my clients? Or what coaching do I need? What other knowledge do I need? And I think those two go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the requirements that you need to do. I think I look at knowledge now less as in credentials for myself to be able to give to my clients, but more as how can I learn how to better run this business?
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying I'm done learning about PR in any aspect or not. I mean, that's why I belong to a professional organization to continue to learn new things from other people as far as my formal collegiate education is. Like, I got a master's degree. I got that far. So that was like, okay, I'm done with that part, or at least I think I am. I guess you never say never, right? But, you know, that the knowledge that I'm constantly seeking is how do I run a business better? Because that's something I don't have formal training on.
Yeah.
And I've had to learn from myself and trial and error and from other people and other coaches along the way. But yeah, deciding what education that you need. And I think this I've talked about this multiple times in our Boss Lady community, but I think that if you do not, especially if you are in a corporate environment, if you don't take control and decide this is the knowledge that I need for myself and I'm going to go pay for it, even if my employer is not, I'm going to do this for myself. That is an investment in yourself and in your longevity of your career and where you want to go. And it's a lesson that I didn't learn until I was an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So the advice I would always, the story I would always tell corporate friends is, don't be limited by what the boss is willing to pay for your conference or your knowledge or your coaching or whatever. If they're not, go figure it out for yourself. And I think that's really what entrepreneurship is a lot about, going really to figure is. It out.
And I said I wasn't going to do another word, but this is the last one. All of that leads to choices.
Yep.
As an entrepreneur, you have a lot more choices because you have boundaries in corporate America, and that's okay. And there's a reason for those, and there should be boundaries, but we don't have any boundaries as an entrepreneur, but we have choices to make. And that in and of itself, and quite frankly, in corporate America, like you said, we have a choice too. We can stay or we can go.
Right.
Or we can prepare ourselves for that next promotion, whatever it is. But, you know, these eight words just very easily play on each other and flow. And you need all of these. So one of the things we're going to ask you to do, and I'm going to put the eight words again in the show notes, are community, wealth, brand, knowledge, persistence, choice, opportunity, and action. Write down each of these words and identify where you are today with them. And then where you think you need additional skills. You're not going to be perfect in all of them, right? But
yeah.
What would you say, Jennifer, if you find you're really good in one and you're lacking in another, how would you take that step? What would you ask our listeners in writing that down, how to process that information, writing it down and figuring out where you are?
Well, understanding where you are is just the first step of understanding where you have to go. So who are people in your circle that can help you get to that place? So if you need to build community around a certain topic or feeling you need to want to upskill in a certain level and you need to go hang out with people in that community that have done that work, or you have no idea how to do the thing that you're trying to do next, who are the people that have done that before you and how can you be a part of their community? So just kind of taking it apart and saying, okay, where are the people or what is the research that I can do to help me learn about this and plug myself into people, programs, services where I can improve in this area?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, I mean, beginning to think about each of these words and how it impacts you and your career, regardless of whether you are.
Maybe there's a book or something, you know, like somebody recommends a book on this particular topic that leads you to an idea about someone to connect with, or just puts it on your radar. So you start discussing it with more people in your circle and that person leads you to another person. Like, it's amazing what we see it in Boss Lady all the time. It's amazing what a group of women around a table with a problem to solve can come up with as a variety of different solutions on how to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the beginning, we talked about the conference and we just kind of blew right over that. But if you are a new listener, Jennifer and I do run the Boss Lady Community, hence the Boss Lady Podcast. And the Boss Lady Community is a community that we have virtual options. We have local options if you happen to live where we do here in Florida. But we have virtual meetups. We have mastermind groups. We have educational. We've got one coming up in May on digital body language from a book. Jen was just talking about a book, how we show up on camera. But we also do a conference. This will be our fourth conference, and it's September 19th.
19th, 20th, and 21st. Yeah.
So of September.
In Daytona Beach.
And it's here in Daytona Beach. So the hotel's gorgeous. It's a brand new, it's a little less than 2 years old, right on the ocean. So we would love for you to join us. You can check us all out at laddernetwork.org. TheLadderNetwork.org. I always hesitate.
Just LadderNetwork.org
is the Boss Lady podcast. But I'll put all that in the show notes. But we would love to have you check us out. All our mastermind groups for the month of April are open. to non-members, or what we like to call you future members. So go to laddernetwork.org and check us out and find a place that you want to join us and meet up with us. Because you know what? That has a lot to do with these eight words, your community and how you make choices and what kind of knowledge you gain or give or share. They all wrap together when you're with other people. Like-minded people. So check us out, join us at the conference, and keep coming back week after week and listening to our podcast.
We would love to have you as a continued listener, but until then, we will leave you, as we always do with the pod at the end of the podcast, encouraging you to go embrace, empower, and educate yourself in some way or form this week. Have a fantastic rest of your week.
Take care till we meet again.